Hey guys, just a quick reminder, September 16th through the 18th, I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona. More dates are coming. Go to ryansickler.com. You can check out all the dates there as they come in. This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by ExpressVPN and Stamps.com. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pass Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all the social media. I can't thank you enough for the support. This community is growing and growing. I love that people are out there laughing and talking about their trauma. Make sure you're subscribed. You're getting audio on Monday. You're getting video on Tuesday. Subscribe to that YouTube channel. And if you want more episodes, subscribe to my Patreon, The Honeydew with Y'all. It's only $5 a month. There's no tiers, no nothing. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free. And I'm just highlighting the lowlights with y'all, and y'all have not disappointed. That community continues to grow and continues to blow me away. The stories that you guys are sending in are just something else. So if you or someone you know has that story that absolutely has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully we get to do a story together. You guys know I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center, and we're doing a program with at-risk youth called Outreach Through the Arts. It's partnered with the Santa Monica Police Department, working with these kids, teaching them about podcasting, cameras, in front of the camera, behind the camera, graphics, editing, everything that goes into a free podcast that isn't free to do. We're teaching these kids now, give them some experience, open them up to some ideas for maybe careers in the future, things like that. I'm proud of it. You're going to see more and more of some content out of here with those kids, and I just really want to talk about it and promote it because I love giving back, and thank you to Lana and the Santa Monica Police Department. Make sure you go hit the merch store, get your merch. We're fully restocked, everything in there. The wait is minimal now except for what's going on with the USPS. UPS wouldn't do you like that. Shout out to UPS, Baltimore Hub, Primary 1, Joe Avenue. All right, y'all know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. This week's guest, man, one of a Crab Feast favorite, no doubt. First time here on The Do, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jesus Trejo, y'all. Welcome to The Honeydew, Jesus.
What's up, baby? We're here, man.
So excited to have you on, dude.
Thank you for having me. This is great. I love the space, and it's great to see you. I haven't seen you in so long.
It's been a minute, dude. Yeah. It has. Thank you. Look, I know we're going to have some fun today, so before we dive into your stories, plug, promote, everything you'd like, please.
Just go to the website, JesusTrejo.com. There's some upcoming shows. They're going to be posted there pretty soon. Check out Tacos Con Todo on First We Feast. We got some episodes up there. And yeah, just, you know, social media, the Twitter at Jesus Trejo, and then Instagram at Jesus Trejo number one. That's it, really.
That's great, dude. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
If you haven't heard Jesus's Crab Feast episode, it's absolutely something you should go listen to. And there is a story that's in there because it is a honeydew story, no doubt. I want you to retell the story of your karate class.
Yeah, man.
How old were you?
I was in high school.
Okay.
I was in high school, you know, young kid, and you know, it's like I've always been enamored with, you know, wrestling and MMA and, you know.
And you're tall now. How big are you now?
I'm 6'3". I was this height in high school. You know, they stopped making Mexicans this big in 86. you know.
Yeah.
And so there was like a Muay Thai gym, kickboxing gym in Long Beach, right? I grew up on the east side of Long Beach, and I wanted to go there. And, you know, my parents didn't have that kind of money to put me in a class or a school like that, but man, did I want to go there. And eventually it happened, and I went there in real deal, man. Real deal dudes in there just kicking the bag. I mean, it was just like all around badass. And the master of this this gym, Master Omri.
Not Omri, that's
five foot flat. I mean, but just a total badass. Well respected in the community. But just was an all-around badass, and he was so kind. So I sign up for classes, and I'm in there after school to go in.
And
there.
Why are you in there? Because you're being bullied, or is it like something your parents want you just to get the hell out? What? Why are you in there?
I kind of want to go because I would get bullied a lot. Okay. Yeah, I mean, so it's like good exercise, and also got to meet people there. I was like watching like the real deal guys like kick the bag, so I was like doing that. But also, I'm like, if I can just learn to defend myself a little bit. So
let me ask you, what are you defending yourself from? Were you like the big kid that everyone wanted to pick on so they could prove themselves, and you weren't strong and shit, and you're like, shit, I need to.
No, I cry easy. Yeah, I mean, that's my superpower.
I'm emotional too.
Yeah,
bro.
Man. And just thinking about, I don't know if you guys could hear it in my voice. It's like cracking. It's like, like it feels like my high school bullies are just outside this door right now. But I used to get picked on a lot, and it was because I was a big kid. So people were like, oh, he can fight. No, I just eat a lot. You know, that's it. And just goofy kid. But I would get picked on. I got jumped. I got guns pulled on me, like all kinds of stuff.
And all because you're this size at a young age.
An
easy target. You easy stand target. Out. People want to pick on the big guy.
You know, it's Long Beach. There's, you know, people, you know, in a very different path than I was in life. Yeah, you know I mean, and it is what it is. It's an environment. You know, I always say this is like, I know they're not a bad person. Like when I got guns pulled on me, I know they're not bad people. It was just a bad choice, you know? And, you know, from getting robbed in a laundromat is like, you know, we're in a laundromat. And I got a gun pulled on me, and I still didn't think the person was bad. It's just a bad choice. It's like, I was flattered they thought I had money. It's like, thank you so much, man. Like, so I've always had this like positive, goofy outlook on life. And I don't know, just trouble finds you when you're, you know, a young kid growing up in Long Beach. But so I'm at this gym. I'm like, this is going to help with my confidence and all kinds of stuff. So I'm in there training. I was no good, man. I would spar. And man, there was this dude in there, construction worker cat, long hair. And, I went in the ring to spar. Now we have like the pads that we're supposed to wear, but if you're going to spar at 25, 50%, no big deal. You know, it's like, I can see the kick coming, you block, that kind of thing. It's you choreograph, mm-hmm. you know, a set. But this dude, like right away, man, this is a grown dude. He was probably like in his 30s. I'm what, like 16, 17. So he's like, just like, wham, like, oh. Like everyone's seen those Instagram yeah. videos where they're wearing like the body thing, and the professional boxers are taking just hits to the stomach, yeah, like, wham, still, wham. Like, and yeah. after like 50 hits, they're like, man, that hurts. Like the dude was wailing on me with, like, I had that, but I wasn't. I was just like, oh, you know, just, and yeah, we just kept going. I'm like, oh, this is part of the thing. And I remember one day, man, I'm in there sparring, and a dude just roundhouse kicks me, just blam, just hits me
in the face.
In the face, just I buckle
out
up.
No, just you're supposed to be going like 25-50%. He's
he
in
got
there.
A brilliant idea and was like, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna surprise him. You don't surprise people in a spar, especially with a kid. Like he's just in there for I'm there for cardio, bro.
You got an ex-wife.
Yeah.
You're trying to work out or some shit.
You got life experience, yeah. bro. I have none of that. I'm here because I think it's cool and fun. You know what I mean? And, man, he roundhouse kicks me. I buckle, man. And I remember everything just going dark, and I would see, like, little colors, like little, like, not fireworks, and I remember hearing, like, psh, so it's like in cartoons when people get knocked out, like a cartoon character, you see like the birds going around. I could hear that. And also I've seen cartoons where they have like the little colors. I'm like, whoever animated that, you've been knocked out before.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what it is. Cause that's
you
so
saw
true.
That.
I saw that. Maybe cause I think in cartoons, who knows, but I get knocked out. I'm out. And I come back and, you know, Omri's there. And, the other fighters are there and they're like, are you all right, man? I can't talk. And I'm trying to talk and nothing. And Omri is upset. He's yelling at the guy. He's like, hey, you hurt my students. They don't come back. And also, it's a kid. And I'm just like, I'm trying to talk, and I can't do it. And, you know, they're jumping on his case, like the – I forget the main fighter's name. He's
can't even talk.
I'm trying to push words out. You know?
I mean, that is a blow, dude.
Yeah, man. It's like I'm trying to push words out like the last bit of toothpaste in a tube where you're just like like you're like here trying to like get the word from the stomach.
You're a kid too. You're a
and
kid.
I can't get the word out, man.
Ouch. Couldn't get ouch out.
And I'm there with wrapped hands. Shirtless in a Muay Thai kickboxing shorts and just a chubby kid, you know what I mean, with shorts and I had my feet wrapped up. I was like, I looked the part, but it's like, hey man,
could you sit up or were you just like, whew,
I was
frozen.
Noodles, bro. Yeah. I was like trying to prop up a noodle, just, you know, just like a newborn baby trying to hold him. God. Like they're holding me from the back of the neck kind of thing. Hey. It's just not good, bro.
I can't even hold your own head.
Yeah, it's like a newborn baby, you know? I was born again at that point, you know what I mean? But so now we're there, and I can hear what's going on, and they're arguing with the guy. And then one of the main fighters was in his face. He's like, you want to fight somebody? You fight me. And he was, like, much shorter, but this guy was not somebody you mess with, you know what I mean? And, you know, they're going back and forth now. My dad's about to pick me up. I'm like, this is about to get real bad, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to like get my voice back. So when, you know, my dad picks me up, he's like, you know, let's go home. I'm never coming back again. And then I can make up whatever lie I needed to justify me never going there again. And so my dad picks me up and he's like laying on the horn trying to get me to come out. And I'm, you know, finally he gets off and, you know, my dad's a gardener. He worked construction during the day, you know, mow lawns, you know, in the evening. So it's like, it's late, you know, he gets out of the work truck and he's like, hey, come on, let's go. And then, you know, they tell him what happened. He's like, what? So he goes over there and I can't talk. He's like, why can't he talk? Well, and then
I didn't remember. You still couldn't talk when your dad showed
no,
up?
No, no,
you
no.
You couldn't
no.
get it out?
No, I couldn't get it out because then they parted the sea of fighters and people training at the gym. It was a small gym, you know. And then they're like, you know, he kicked him in the head. He's like, he did what? You know, kind of thing. And I was just like, I couldn't talk. I mean, I was just like, so
how much time would you say has gone by now from you getting roundhouse to your dad?
A lifetime, because I'm a lifetime. I don't know what that is. They say time slows down in a black hole. That's what it felt like. All I can hear is, psh, psh, and I still got birds doing laps around my dome, you know. And so my dad's upset. My dad's upset. He's like, you know, leaves. And he goes to his work truck and he takes out the rustiest machete you've ever seen. The rustiest of the, and he grabs it and he's outside. He's like, come outside. And he's sparking his damn machete on the ground.
Oh, well, that's my favorite.
So you just hear, hashing, hashing.
You still can't talk.
I can't talk, but like, I'm up on my feet. I remember being up on my feet, just kind of like, you know, just kind of like, no, 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 chill out. And, you know, Omri's out there now. And
listen, I've been in L.A. long enough. I've been in California long enough. I know these little gyms. I know the little strip mall it's in.
Yeah.
I can't imagine driving by and just looking over and seeing some dude in the parking lot just sparking a machete and being like, wonder what the fuck's going on in there, you know?
And, man, he's sparking. He's like, come out here. My dad's like 5 foot. Yeah, I mean, little guy, heart of a lion, man. And he's ready to go. I mean, I don't have kids of my own, but I can only imagine where my dad was at that time. It's like, oh, we're going.
Yeah.
We're going the distance, however this ends, right? So he's sparking the things coming out. So Omri's out there. You know, Omri's a, you know, Cambodian man. My dad's a Mexican man. And they're trying to communicate with each other. And, you know, Omri's like, hey, man, this dude, you know, I'm really sorry, you know, kind of thing. My dad is not hearing it. And the guy's kind of like, hey, my bad. We were just sparring kind of thing. And man, did it get ugly. I ended up not going back. I was just scared. You know, I was just scared. And, you know, I remember some time went back, right? Some time went by and, I'm out there mowing lawns with my dad. And the dude pulls up and, he's in the truck or whatever. He's like, hey, I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, there he is. So, you know, I stopped the mower and I go over there. My dad's in the back.
This is after he did this to you?
This is after. And he's like, I'm sorry about what I did out there, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I shouldn't have gone that hard. He's like, I hope you know it was an accident. don't know how you roundhouse on accident. You know, you have to go out of your way to.
I planted on my foot and did a 360 by accident. Yeah. And accidentally also hit you.
I accidentally aimed at your face. So,
hey, man. I'm sorry I roundhoused you by accident.
By accident.
Absurd.
Don't you start a roundhouse kick from out here? Like,
yeah, I mean, you're putting everything.
Yeah, the arms have to go first. So halfway through,
it's
you can
premeditated kick. It's a premeditated kick. It's not just a kick to the gut or anything.
Yeah, and it's
oh my
like
God,
you could have changed your mind at this point, but you decided to turn your hips and have your foot follow. Dude. And then my dad was there and. Yeah, everything kind of pushed over, but I was scared for a long time. I didn't want to go down that street because that led me to believe that he lived on that street. Yeah. And I was just scared, man. And, you know, just, you know, what little I learned there was enough to give me confidence. But again, it's like, you know, it's like martial arts is great, but it's like to me, it's like it only helps if, you know, you have the confidence to use it in a situation. And, you know, I was always too scared. I couldn't remember anything. But yeah, man. I was life in Long Beach, man.
Dude,
it's such
I love
a,
that story.
It's a
I
beautiful.
I love who your dad is. I love the story.
Yeah.
Man. I want to go back to some early years too. You sent one in about second grade. Let's hear it. You know what I'm talking about?
Second grade.
Your homework.
Oh, my homework, man. This one. This one was like a life changing one, man. This was so to give you a little to give you some context. I don't know English. I don't have command of the English language till about fifth grade, right?
Okay, so you grow up in a household that just speaks Spanish.
Yeah, my parents are from Mexico, you know, Sinaloa, you know, my dad, my mom's from Guadalajara.
So the only English you're learning is from school and friends
TV,
or TV,
friends,
okay.
You know, music, you know, that kind of thing. So that's, you know, and I'm learning as I'm going, but I don't have full command of it. Now, I got changed. Like I switched schools several times my second grade year. I don't remember exactly why, but I changed schools quite a bit. But I ended up at Bixby Elementary School in Long Beach, right? And I remember Mrs. Jones, you know, teacher, just adorable elderly woman who just had a passion for teaching, loved all the kids, you know. And I was just, I mean, I was a troublemaker kind of thing. And for almost a whole school year, I was given homework and I didn't turn it in. Not one.
You didn't do it.
Didn't do it. I didn't bother to do it.
Didn't tell your parents about it.
Well, my parents don't know the language. They don't know how to read any of this stuff. So it was just like, you have any homework? Yep, did it. All right. You know, and also I was working with my dad. So it's like, you know, come help me. So my dad wasn't really asking. My mom was the one's like, don't you have things to do, like things to write? I'm like, nope, did it already. Did it on the bus. You know, and I just would lie to my parents, right? So this is like a whole year.
But what's happening throughout the year is you're not turning in these assignments. They're not contacting your parents or trying to call or anything.
I answer the phone. I answer the phone. Wrong number, Mrs. Jones. Yeah.
Oh, see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. You know, me doing a little kid interpretation of an adult voice. Oh, okay. Thank you. Bye bye. You know, kind of, you know, it wasn't working. They're trying to reach out to my parents. It's not happening. You know, my parents aren't dropping me off at school. I'm taking a school bus, so they don't see my parents. And every single assignment that I had, so I had like a little closet, right, with some toys, and I had like, you know, a big mess in there. So what my mom did, this is important to the story. So my mom went to this grocery store, Top Value, right? So she goes over there and asks for cardboard boxes. So they give her some banana boxes, right?
Yeah,
and they
moved.
Yeah. So they had the big hole in the middle, right? So my mom got about four of those, and I just would put like little books or, you know, all my stuff was in a stack of four boxes, and they had a hole in the middle. So I just would throw stuff on top, and it just go to the bottom, and it just kind of filled up. So what I did was in that closet, every assignment that I got, I grabbed it, I would crumble it up, and I would stick it in there. I was too dumb to know, throw it in the trash, get rid of it before you go home. So I would stuff it. Now imagine, like, how long is the school year? What, like 10
Nine
months?
9 months, 10 Nine. Months, yeah.
So say for 7 months, there's 7 months worth of assignments in there. Whether it was a packet, whether it was like whatever it was, hey, your mom needs to sign this. It's going in the box. So It was just.
But why? Let me ask you, what made you do that? Did you not like the work? Did you not understand?
I didn't understand it very well. Yeah, I mean, it's like I was a kid, you know, asking other kids, like, how do you spell the? I forgot, you know, and then they're like, T-H-E. Oh, okay, that's right. I was just trying to make sure because I was so embarrassed. Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm having a hard time. I don't know how to read and write in Spanish. I don't know how to do it in English. My dad would say, he's like, you're going to end up mute. You don't speak Spanish or English. And so I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I'm going to school, but I'm attending school. I'm not doing any of the work. I can't understand it, really. I'm doing the best I can. And, you know, you could tell
that. Is that the only class you're doing that with? Are you doing work in all your other classes?
No, this is like second grade. So,
oh,
we
so
don't,
it's the whole day. That's
it's
right.
It's a whole
yeah,
day,
that's right,
you know. Yeah. So the whole day.
So
is,
every class assignment that you're – science, math, it's all getting shoved in
everything.
These bananas.
Everything.
I, for some reason, I'm thinking
syllabus,
it's just like English.
It could okay. be like a, everything. Drawings, you name it. Like scholastic book catalogs, they're going in there, bro. They're going in there. It looked like a
if
big
it,
shoe.
If it went home, it was going in the boxes.
It was going in the boxes, right. and it was just stuffed in there. So I did that for months, man, and I'm thinking everything is cool. Now cut to one day, me in class just chilling. And they always sat me in the front because, again, they're like, man, you're like, you're way behind kind of thing. So they always sat me in the front, and I'm just chilling, drawing. You know, I was always the kid who doodled a lot. So everything on my desk were just drawings and stuff. So I'm over there drawing. And I remember I could tell something was up. I don't know what's going on. And I just happened to look to the back. I remember this so vividly. Chalkboard in front of me. I'm in the front of the class. There's rows about, like, 7 by, you know, 10 or whatever. It's like kind of a big classroom. And I just remember looking back to the door, and I see my mom.
Oh, shit.
And I see an interpreter.
Oh, no.
And Mrs. Jones is going, you know, she's making her way to the back of the thing. Now, what stuck out to me was that my mom was in tears. She was sobbing. I was like, that's not good. You know, what happened? So, you know, if I break that down, it's like, in retrospect, it's like my mom had to take a bus, two buses, right, to make her way to Bixby. Went to the school, and I just kept thinking back through all the embarrassment that I put her, having to go to the office, not understanding.
An interpreter,
all kinds of stuff.
They had to eventually figure out how to contact her and tell her your son hasn't turned in any, so she already knows what the fuck's up.
Yeah, or like at this point, I don't know how it went down.
Then you fail as a failure as a parent. Not only am I worried about my kid, but now I'm not doing a good job. Right. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, and you know, no family's perfect. I'll say that. You know, lots going on at home. So. You know, that's part of the reason I think I fell back. I also don't know the language. There's a lot of factors here, right? So I look back and I can tell my mom's like crying. I'm like, ooh, like it put this like fear in me, right? And I was just like, I don't know what's happening. So Mrs. Jones.
Let me ask, were you worried maybe you were about to hear someone died? You weren't, were you thinking school? You knew school right away or what?
No.
I didn't know.
I didn't know. I just knew mom was crying and, you know, like I always say this, from a young age, I was always like a caregiver. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I was interpreting. I was stuff like this. So it's like, I need to go over there and help mom out was my instinct, but I knew something was wrong. So Mrs. Jones says, hey, can you come out here for a bit? And, you know, second grade class. Ooh.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, Bert's everybody. Hi, Ma. Mom, are you okay? Kind of thing. And so it's like, you know, interpreter's here, mom's here, teacher's here. And my mom has two top value plastic grocery bags that say, thank you, thank you, thank you, repeated thing.
Yeah.
Filled with uncrinkled sheets.
No, she fucking found the banana boxes, bro.
She probably
ironed them out.
Bro, I just imagine she opened one box and it was like the snake. The snake coming out of the Pringle can, just like brrr.
Two bags.
Man.
Let's say
thank you. I'll never forget the thank you repeated.
Yeah,
you know
the
what
layers.
Mean?
I know exactly what you're talking
and,
about.
And I just saw two bags, but my mom had like a canvas bag, a bigger one.
Nah.
7 months. of work.
She had them all. She brought everything.
She brought everything.
No way.
She uncrinkled every single piece.
Oh, and
they were sorted out by that time. So what she had in her hand were the assignments and everything else. I think was like anything else. And they like, it was a long briefing. I'm sure before my mom even went to the classroom, they're like, oh, this is this. They're trying to tell her what the paperwork is, or this is the first time they've seen her since I, you know, switched to the school. So it's bad. It's really bad. And my mom is like crying and she's like, you know, I don't know why he does this. You know, it's like, I don't know why he lied to me.
The parking lot, like,
ching. So my dad's at work. I mean, you know, we'll get to that, you know, later. My dad's working.
I know that's coming. Yeah, there ain't no
at the time, there's no cell phone. So my dad's out in the field. There's no way of contacting him. He'll get here when he gets here. And he's going to get the briefing at the door, and then he'll find me later kind of thing. So we're still at school. And so now they're telling me, it's like, why haven't you done your assignments? It's like you were telling your mom that you were doing them. You know, I don't know what I was telling the teacher to hold her over for 7 months. You know what I mean? But it wasn't good. So now they take me into another room and there's like the principal. There's like all kind of faculty. I'm at the end of this long board meeting table, just sitting there swinging my feet, you know, just hunched over, feeling bad because my mom is crying in front of all these teachers. It's like the embarrassment that I'm putting my mom through. It's like, fuck, man. And so they slide me the two stacks of just like these like big column big row, like with the dotted line in the middle so you know how to write the letter. You know what I'm talking about?
Margins, you mean?
Not margins. Margins go this way.
Paper?
Yeah, about paper, like writing
the
paper.
The lines. Yeah.
Yeah, with the lines that got the dotted line in the middle.
I think it's called ruled.
Ruled, there it is. So ruled paper for a second grader, and it's all these papers and stuff. And Mrs. Jones says, this is what we're going to do. He's like, you're going to do every single one of these assignments. And I'm like, but it's a lot. She's like, I know. And we have stuff to do from now until the end of the year, and you will be doing that as well. So every day you're supposed to turn in, you know, I have to chip away at this stack. And I was like, damn. It's like, I don't know what to do. And then they're like, well, we're going to help you. There's going to be after school programs and, you know, that kind of thing. So they found the help that I needed, you know, to get these done. But it was very hard for me to go so I would get dropped off at Edison Elementary School there in Long Beach, and, you know, Eastside Long Beach. So I would get dropped off there, get picked up in a school bus and driven down to Bixby School. Now they had a YMCA program. So they said, after school, you're going to go there. Sometimes I didn't want to go there because I got out so late that I don't want to walk home at night, mm-hmm. or make my mom come get me at night, because it's like it's a whole nother bag of problems. So I started doing my assignments my own way, and it was like, you know, some of it was like addition. It was like 5 + 5, you know, kind of thing, and I just would write the last number on the bottom, 5. You know what I mean? 7 + 2, 2. I'm like, man, I am blowing through these assignments. I'm Stephen Hawking in his day, genius, you know. Division.
If I knew it was this easy, I just would have done it.
Yeah, I was just like.
7 + 2.
They're trying to teach me a lesson here. You know, hang tight, guys. You know, 2 × 7, 7. You know, 2 × 3, 3. You know, so it was easy. I'm like, this is just, they're trying to teach me a lesson kind of thing. So I go turn all this in, and it was like another problem. Now they're like, the interpreter's calling. You know, my place. And they're like, yeah, your son thinks this is a joke. And they're like, why? He's like, he's just writing whatever on the assignments. He's not really doing them. Is he going to the, you know, Edison, to get help? He's like, yeah. So now they reach out to Edison. It's like, what is Jesus doing while he's there? Well, actually, he's playing a lot of chess over there. You know, it's like, I'm just playing chess. I'm just not doing what I'm supposed to, again, because I don't have the direction. And long story short, I had to do all those assignments, but it really, to this day, it still messes with me to know that I put my mom through something like that. But it, you know, I would say it wasn't my fault, but it was my fault. I didn't take responsibility at that time to really ask for help or do those things. I was just, you know, the phrase fish out of water. I was exactly that, man. And, you know, I definitely never wanted to put my parents in that situation again, which of course I did. I was a kid, you know, and. But yeah, man, that one right there really
that sticks with you, huh?
Ooh,
does your mom ever bring it up?
Oh yeah,
she does, huh?
Yeah, because like, you know, even now, like, like I have like a little bin in my room and I crumble up like I'm writing stuff or jokes and I throw it in there. It's like, is that homework assignments? I'm like, oh, you're not letting go, Mom. Yeah. Yeah. So it stuck with her too.
Was she super proud at graduation and everything? Like when you all got said and done?
You know what's funny? Like I'm the first in my family to go to school, period, kind of thing. So I remember like kindergarten being a big deal. Like graduation, it was a big deal.
It was, huh?
Huge. Like
my dad
brought out the good Wranglers. Yeah, man. He put on the Wrangler jeans
and the church Wrangler.
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah.
Kindergarten.
Yeah, they kindergarten and fifth grade. By the time I got to fifth grade, you know, it's like and I graduated. They were like, you know, it's and to me to show that improvement from second grade doing stuff like that to having command of the language and you know being able to participate a little more. My grades were really terrible. The big shift happened around middle school for me, and you know, my parents. Again, there was a lot of crying that my mom did. It's like, why don't you do your work? Why don't you like pay attention in school? And I'm like, well, there's more to it than that, Ma, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, I eventually did turn around. So yeah, my parents were very proud that I, you know, graduated, you know, school along the way, went to college and all that good stuff. So
you did? Where'd you go?
Cal State Dominguez.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
And you got your degree?
Yeah, business degree, marketing.
So you went from, you're the only person in your family to ever go to school, and you went all the way and got the
extended
degree.
Yeah, like my dad never went to school.
Oh my God, your mind would be so stoked.
Yeah, my dad never went to school. My mom had very little schooling. So it's like, you know, it was a big deal. It was a big deal for us to, you know, school was a big deal, and I would have gone on further, but, you know, then comedy came around and this is what I wanted to get my PhD in kind of thing. So
that's awesome, dude. I want to jump around to a story down here about the radio station that I'm dying to hear this.
That's perfect because it's around college. I'm going to Cal State Dominguez Hills, right? And
I interned at a radio station in college too. Did you intern or did you work there?
No, I interned. Okay. It was part of a radio program. Mm-hmm. So Cal State Dominguez Hills had a radio program that very little people signed up for. They had like an actual studio. You had the soundboard and, you know, they had the actual system that most radio stations would use. You know, you put the music in, then you had your breaks and you're like, hey, you know, welcome back. So I got to do that and it was really cool. And one of the things I wanted to do, because at the time I'm already like, I want to do comedy. And I know that comedians, you know, oftentimes were on the radio. And, you know, they got to be on air. So I'm like, this is something comedians do. So I'm like, I think I have to do that. You know, so that was the whole thing behind me taking that, you know, radio course. And then they said, you can work at a radio station and we'll give you college credit. I said, man, you're speaking my language. So I found a radio station. I'm not going to say what radio station it was, and which actually is no longer around.
Is it AM or was it FM?
FM.
FM.
And so I go over there and, you know, I email back and forth and they say, hey, come on down, you know, bring the paper. We'll sign you off for some credit. So I'm like, I don't have the paperwork yet, but, you know, this is something I have the syllabus, that kind of thing. They said, all right, well, we'll get you familiar with everything. And so I go, I'm living the dream. I'm taking out the binders with all the promotions. I'm, you know, printing out copy, news stories. Man, I'm on top of the world. You know what I mean? It's like, it feels good. And most of my time was spent in the other room answering phones. Hey, caller number one, caller number two. Hey, I want to hear, you know, such and such. All right, man. Hey, what's your name? What's your age? Where are you calling us from? So we were, you know, getting all the statistics of the people calling in. And I'm writing down song requests that never got played. The songs usually were on rotation, you know, thing. And, so I'm doing that. I'm really enjoying it, man. I'm like, this feels right. I'm getting along with the on-air DJs. I'm even staying longer than I should because now I'm helping the other DJ set out his stuff so they can like have a few minutes to themselves. And I'm, you know, doing all the tedious stuff. So I'm back there. I'm answering the phones and I would talk to the people who would call in, right? And it would be good conversation. So at the time, they were giving away a family four pack of like to Disneyland, and people would light up and they were like,
yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. So, you know, they would give you the thing and, which I should say, I'm going to stop there. Radio is a big part of my like upbringing. Like, my mom would listen to the radio all the time. My dad, when I would go work with him.
What would she listen to?
All Spanish stuff, you know.
Your dad, too?
Yeah, my dad, too. Actually, when I
And that didn't help you learn it anymore, listening to music all day like that?
Yeah, I could talk. I could talk Spanish. I could. That was my first language. I just couldn't read it or write it, kind of thing. And so when I filmed my hour special, Piolín, who's a big radio personality here in Los Angeles, came to the taping. My dad, I mean, lost it.
Baby,
you see my dad fixing his hair. You should have said he was coming. You should have said he was coming. I would have worn a better suit, you know.
Would have got the good rank.
And my mom was like, "Yeah." My mom was like, "What?" So, on a side note, so I remember Piolín pulls up. He was with his son, so he pulls up and he's in this truck, and he's like, "Hey, I'm gonna go park. I'll be right over there." My dad goes over there. And the truck window's open, and he like sticks his hand and he's like, "Hey, it's a pleasure to meet you." I'm like, "Dad, would you get over here?" And he's just excited. So he parked, and my parents were about to leave because this was now the second show that night.
Gotcha.
I did two that night. So they already saw the first show. They're about to leave. The Uber's waiting for us. And then he's like, "I didn't know he was going to come. I'm going to stick around for a little bit." I'm like, "Oh, you guys." So he comes over and, you know, they got to say hi, and just my dad just, it meant the world that, you know, Piolín and his son was there, and my parents ended up, you know, going home. But that's what radio means to us. My mom one time won a blender on a radio station, and it was a big deal. It was a t-shirt, a blender, and a keychain. And she called my cousin, who's my godfather, and it was like, "Hey, can you give us a ride to Hollywood? Because we have to go to Hollywood to pick up this blender." It's like, "Sure." And that was the first time I ever went to Hollywood. We were walking on Hollywood Boulevard. We're seeing the handprints by the theater. You know, it's like
filled with human feces.
It was pretty gnarly. But they had, you know, Cantinflas. You know, had it, and you know, along with other Mexican, you know, singers or actors, that kind of thing. So it was a big deal. We got the blender, and it was.
So dude, can I share? Tell you a radio? Look, I've told this on the show before, but I'm going to tell you this story because this is
please. Ridiculous. I'm all ears.
This is a radio story for you, right? Okay. So let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, ExpressVPN. Now, going on the internet without a VPN is like, I say it every week, it's like going to the bathroom with the door open. Why are you doing that? Some of you do it. Don't do that. Don't do it. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for anybody, all right? Internet service providers like Comcast or Verizon, they know every single website that you visit. And then ISPs can sell this information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you, okay? ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't watch what you're doing online. You can just simply fire up the app. You click one button, one. It's rated number one by CNET, Wired, The Verge. It works on your phones, your tablets, your laptops. It even works on your routers. So everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected, all right? What I like most about ExpressVPN is no matter where I am, I can watch whatever I want with privacy, okay? I can go in another city, watch ball games over there. I can watch whatever I want. You can go to switch it for UK, Japan, different countries, okay? So secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/honeydew today. That's expressvpn.com/honeydew. And you can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Stamps.com. Are you still going to the post office? Are you still paying full price for postage? Well, thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to anymore. You can mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. You can send letters, you can ship packages, and you can pay less, a lot less, with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Shout out to UPS, Baltimore Hub, Primary One, Joe Avenue. All right, Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. It is a must-have for any business, whether you're a small office sending invoices, if you're a side hustle over there doing your Etsy shop shipping out orders, or you're just navigating this hybrid work life. Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. No wonder over 1 million businesses choose Stamps.com for their mailing and their shipping. I've used it for years. Back in the Crafties days, I would ship all all our shirts and stuff using stamps.com. It's easy. It's simple. You just simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, you just schedule a pickup or you drop it off. It's that simple. With Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 66% off of UPS shipping rates. Not to mention Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stop wasting time going to the post office. Go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with my promo code Honeydew, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Honeydew. That's stamps.com, promo code Honeydew. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Now, let's get back to the do. Back in the day, we drove this Volkswagen Beetle, right? We called it the pants pocket. It was originally red, but my parents got it painted blue for free because the phone book was doing this advertising deal where if you got your car painted blue and you put their logo all over the car for, I don't know what it was, maybe a year, they then peel the stickers off at the end of the year of free advertising and boom, you got a free paint job, okay? That was the deal. So we get this red Beetle now painted blue, and it's got go by the book. Went back when they had the fingers, let your fingers do the walking. Yeah. So that's all over our fucking car, right? And then they peeled the thing off. You could totally see the silhouette of the stickers, all this shit. It was just a shitty job. So we drive in this car, and my mom listens to country music back in the day. Okay. And the station's 93 WPOC, right? Well, they're doing this fucking competition where they're giving away. Now, remember, I'm older than you, so this is in the 80s. I'm probably 10, 11.
Okay.
And we all play sports. I have two brothers. We all play sports. We're all good. They're doing this competition. They're giving away a Dodge Chrysler Laser, brand new car.
Okay.
93 people. I don't know what you had to do, call in or whatever. Well, my mother is one of the 93. And she has an opportunity to win this car. And what you have to do is you got to go to the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. And in the like little courtyard area they had a Dodge Chrysler Laser. And you had to stand back. I don't know what it was, 93 feet. I don't even know what the hell it was. But you had to throw a football through the window, the driver's window. If you did, you won the fucking car. Okay. So the rules were 93 people were going to go. If no one does it through the first pass, we go again until everybody gets a turn and someone wins this car, right? Okay. Somebody's getting the car. Nighttime, okay. Bro. We're in Baltimore City. Someone's winning the car for sure. And I say all the time, there's this one young dude fucking looking like Johnny U over here who doesn't stop throwing. He's practicing. My mom's deep somewhere. I feel like in the deep 80s, okay? But he's behind us. And I'm like, fuck. At least we got a shot to get one in before fucking Johnny U over here laces it up in there.
Does mom have the tape in her hand?
My mom doesn't have shit.
Oh, okay.
My mom didn't bother to talk to us. My mom didn't do anything. I said, did you even fucking practice? Yeah, I had some friends at work. I'm like, friends? My mom was, we were not, all, none of us were close anyway, but we're stuck with her. We go. My mother gets the ball and we're like, please, God, get us out of this fucking Volkswagen. Like, we're all, there's five of us crammed this motherfucker. She threw this fucking ball and it starts off. This thing died not even halfway there. It just shit out and skirted over there. We were like, God damn it. So now we got to hope that everyone misses so we get another chance in the 93 to go again. And two or three throws later, Johnny U comes up and right in the goddamn window. Oh. And you know what he does? He goes right over the side and he keeps on throwing because there's other people after him. Just in case he's got to go one-on-one with somebody. And he didn't. And that motherfucker won the car.
Whoa.
Won the car.
Yep. Hilarious. Just seeing the ball die midair. Dude.
Just like a lead fucking balloon, bro. Nothing. Man. Just a horrible thing.
There's something very special about like radio, man. It's just like, you know, people really get like this is a big part of their day. They listen to it at work. They on the way to work.
And there's
afterwards.
A good time, a chance to win some good money sometime. A car. That's a fucking car. Back then, that was a nice car. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's like you can win something. You can win money, prizes, a car. And Yeah, man.
So what happened? So what are you guys doing there?
So we're doing a family four pack
of Disney
Right. Okay. tickets, and people are calling up, and you know, we would give them away, and it was great. I would answer.
So it's like $500 to get four people into Disney.
That's huge, and this is years ago. Yeah, you know I mean, so it was like really expensive, and but in that promotion, they're like, you can win $500 if you call when you hear this song. They'll play.
So in addition to the Disneyland, you're getting $500 on top of it.
Yeah.
If so you call in that
they would
window.
Only play that song or like once or twice. It was like twice in one day. You would get $500, $1,000 a day, you know, only two chances. You got to be listening. But so it goes down and, you know, I'm giving away the family four pack, I call the on-air DJ through the little one-way speaker thing, and I say, hey, you know, I have the winner. Great. They play the song. And I'm like, oh, dang. That's, you know. And then they're like, we just played the song. The phone lines are going to, you know, be, you know, crazy, and we're going to, you know, pick the caller. They said the number of the caller. So my job was to dump all the calls and count by tens, 10, 20, 30. Now you're going down to the number. I didn't know that I was not supposed to pick the winner for the $500, right? They were going to do it over there. So I was dumping, but then I was like, one, two, three, whatever. Like, let's say it was caller number 67. So I dumped, you know, five times on number 67. One, two, three, four, five. You know, and I would go, caller number one, no. Caller number two, da-da. And then we're like, hello? And they're like, did I get it? I'm like, I have some good news for you. Hang tight, right? And then I'm listening to the radio. I have a little radio in my office, and I hear, and the winner of the $500 is, you know, Joe Schmo, you know, whoever it was. Like, oh, my God. And I'm like, I got the winner right here on hold. I got the winner right here. He's holding. Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, this is not going to go well. And I click on the thing, and I'm like, hello, you there? Yeah, I'm right here. Did I win? Like, hold tight. I'm like, fuck, he's still there. What do I do? And there's a delay, right? So it's like, by this point, he knows he's not the winner, even though I told him, he's like, I have good news. Hold tight. He doesn't have a chance to call back. It's bad. I'm sweating bricks.
You haven't told anybody yet?
No.
Nothing. I'm not, and him sitting there.
Me with my face in my lap going, what did I just do? I'm going to get fired from a job that I'm not being paid for.
Yeah,
that means the world to me right now. I'm not going to get my three college credits for this. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yes, exactly. Right.
So it's like I don't know what to do. I'm shitting bricks. I'm like, man, now what? And so I go in the studio and they're like, yeah, you know, here's a winner. And I'm just pale, sweating. She slides me the info. First name, last name. Now I got to get the rest of the information. Address, blah, blah. I'm filling out the form. Hey, congratulations. Like, oh my God, I got the $500. Yeah, congratulations, you know. And I know in the back of my mind, I got my homie on hold still. So I'm filling out the thing. I said, all right, congratulations. You can pick up the prize on you know, such day. Bring your ID so they can verify that you're the winner of it, blah, blah, blah. And the on-air host could tell that something's wrong. He's like, you all right? Yeah, no, I'm all right. And then I'm like, I'm going to go answer phones. They're like, all right. So I go back there and I answer. I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? He's like, he's quiet, man. I could hear dead air. You didn't win the thing. I don't know if you were listening. And I'll never forget it. He goes, nah, fool. Nah. Nah. Nah, man. I hurt his feelings so bad. And I'm just like, I'm really sorry. Nah, fool. I won the $500. I'm like, nah, man, listen, there was a mistake. Nah, fool. I'm like, thanks for calling and good luck next time. I hit the dump button. I was like, that's it. I get one call on the line. One light's blinking. Hello? You know, I do my little spiel. I won the money, fool. He's calling back. This is like
a
horror
story. Are you scared now?
Oh, yes.
And he's staying quiet.
I had to throw away those boxers.
Yeah,
I didn't wear them ever again.
I love that he's being super quiet. Nah, fool.
Nah, fool. I'll never forget it. Listen,
that's way more of a mind fuck than somebody screaming. You'd be like, whatever. I've heard people yell. Whispering it in composure like that.
And then he will listen to me.
It sounds like he's cleaning his gun on the other end, you know, just.
And I'm trying to, like, you know, plead my case here. I'm like, listen, I only answer phones. You know, they pick the grand prize, you know, in booth, like in the main studio. I just, you know, screen the calls and I'm like explaining my job title to the guy. I'm like so nervous. And, you know, there was a mistake and I apologize, but you can, you know, call in again. You'll have a chance to win $500 tomorrow. You know, you have two chances to win. I'm now saying the spiel. And so, yeah. No, fool.
I just want to answer the fucking phone.
Oh, man. So, and he kept calling in. And it just ruined my whole day.
Daily or?
Well, that, we're still talking about that night.
That's just that night. He's calling.
And he keeps calling, and it just ruined my day. And I'm supposed to stay longer now because I made friends with the second on-air DJ. So it's like, they're like, hey, man, are you all right? Yeah, no, I'm all right. And then he's like, can we
ask? Haven't told anybody.
No, because that would be the last day.
And this dude ain't called anybody else at the station or?
No, he's calling the same line.
Guy picking up.
And so eventually I'm like, he's going to have to talk to somebody. And I said, look. I pick up the thing and he's not full. He's there. I said, look, man, I messed up. I'm sorry. I work here. I answer the phones. Let me talk to some people and see what we can do. If we can get you a consolation prize. Not full. And, you know, I'll make this right. Give me a call tomorrow. He just hung up. I was like, fuck. And I'm like leaving the building, looking over my shoulder. I'm like, he's sitting on the hood of my outside. Car.
Yeah, yeah.
Swinging his feet going, hey, fool. You know what I mean? And I'm scared. I go home. I'm just like, I can't even sleep that night. I feel so bad that this guy is supposed to get the $500 and he didn't get him. So I come to work dreading it. And the dude starts calling in and so now I'm just dumping the call. I'm dumping the call like, hello. And I knew it was him. I would dump the call. Now I have to go in studio. They answer one of the calls in there and he explains everything to me.
Oh no.
So now I get a call from like the radio, like the manager guy. He's like, hey, can I speak with you? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, you can't do this to people. It's like, if they want something, it's like, you know, we could get sued. It's $500. So he's like, we have to find a way to, you know, figure out, you know, make them win something. And it's just like, I'm really sorry. He's like, what are you doing back there? I'm like, I thought I was supposed to dump the callers and get to this one. It was really bad. Like, he's like, bosses are coming down on me. This guy keeps calling. So he not only kept calling.
Yeah, of course.
So he's been calling. So now they're annoyed and they're sweating like I am because they're hearing is, no.
The whole station's scared.
The whole station is scared from this guy.
I would have just done everybody pony up some money here. Let's see if we can get this guy.
And the station, I'll give props to the station. They made right by him.
They did give him $500?
I don't know what they gave him, but he was quite happy. I just made sure I wasn't there the day he came to pick up the prize.
Yeah, no shit, dude.
And I never told him my name or anything. I was just like very scared. And I still think about that guy. It's like, man, like, however long it took for him to get $500, like, man, he worked for those $500. That was not free. Like, he worked for that.
I love it.
But anyway, that's my little radio story.
I want to get this story in before we have to get out of here. But tell me about Mexico City.
Oh, Mexico City, man. Loved it. Loved Mexico City. So I went out there to do some shows. I was performing, you know, stand-up out there in Spanish. And
when? How long ago?
This is like a few years ago now. So like about 4 years ago, mm-hmm. right? So I'm out there doing shows and, my homie Damar Randy, shout out Damar Randy. He went out there with me. So we're out there, we're having a good time. And, you know, he doesn't speak Spanish, but he's like, you know, the shows that they would do out there in Mexico City, they would do them in English sometimes. And I'm like, you know, we'll get you some stage time. And he performed. The comics know English. So, you know, we got him some stage time and, you know, some stage time too. We're not doing like big shows. It's just kind of like doing a run of shows, right? And we're having a good time. Now, I have a huge addiction to pastries, muffins, pan dulce.
You that do? Kind of,
it's pretty bad.
Where does that come from? Did your mom make them back in the day? Or
I used to go to bakeries as a kid and just like cash out on whatever my dad would give me.
What was your go-to?
Oh, conchas. empanadas. Okay. There was this one called Rollos, which was like a...
So it doesn't have to be sweet, just any kind of pastry.
Anything. Okay. Like cupcakes. Yeah, it's like I got really addicted to cupcakes, muffins. Remember how Costco used to have like the box with all the muffins?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And before it was all chocolate, all poppy seed, all this. Now they give you the variety pack. I used to buy the chocolate box. I could probably kill it in two sittings. Like, I put them in a bowl of milk, just pour like it was cereal. Real problem. You know what I mean? And so I have this like huge addiction to like sweets. Sweet bread in particular since I was a kid. And so we're in Mexico City and they got bakeries right in front of the Airbnb where I'm staying. So every day for a week, I'm going out there. I'm loving it twice a day, you know, a cup of coffee, some champurrado. I mean, whatever it is. And I'm killing I'm taking pieces of bread to the dome. They're killing it. And by like the fourth day, you know, I make friends with the baker and I'm, you know, telling him, it's like, man, you got some good stuff here, man. And he's like, oh, man, he's like, are you new in town? I said, I'm just visiting, but, you know, kind of, I'm just blown away by your bread, you know, kind of thing. So before we leave, I tell DeMar, I said, hey, I got to take some of this bread back home.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck are you going to do that for?
From Mexico City. Yeah. Some of this fresh bread.
Some fresh bread. And he's like, it's not gonna get there nice. You know what I mean? It's like you have to carry it. It's gonna be sawdust when you get there. And I'm like, nah. So I'm kinda like thinking, like my mind's turning. Nah, fool. Nah, fool. It's my bread. So we go to this Target equivalent, right? And I'm shopping for backpacks. So I'm looking for the biggest backpack I can find. So I go in there and I buy some backpacks, two backpacks, because I had some more stuff I wanted to take back, but I got the big one and asked for extra plastic bags, and I lined the inside of this backpack. I'm about to fill it up with bread. So we go the last day, right, because we're flying out the next day in the morning. So I go into the bakery and I throw the backpack on the counter, and the baker looks at me and throws my backpack on the ground. I'm like, why'd you do that? He said, you want to rob me? Is that what it is? I said, no. I've been coming here all week. Like, why would I rob you of all people? You know what I mean? He's like, I'm like, I'm going to take some bread. And then he's like, I thought you had a gun in there or something. I'm like, no, not at all. And it was kind of a weird thing. And so I said, I'm going to get a bunch of bread. I'm leaving this bag here just so you know I'm not stealing anything. But I'm going to get a bunch of bread. So I take 30 US dollars worth of Mexican bread. DeMar got a tray. DeMar got a tray. I got a tray. And we already got a tray on the counter full of bread. And I'm just like getting pieces, putting up. You know what I mean? So
I thought I liked bread.
No.
You fucking love
bread. You do not like bread. I like bread, bro. I'm hearing Chopin music playing in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, classical music. I'm just like, I'm loading it up, man. I can't get enough of it. And so we got three trays, right? And DeMar's looking at me. He's like, I don't know, bro. This is going to look mad suspicious. I said, hear me out, man. We're going to get this bread there, right? So we buy all the bread. They give us. He didn't put them in the backpack. He put them in brown paper bags. And he's like, you do it at, you know, at home. I'm not doing it here. So we take it. I go back to the Airbnb and I'm like carefully placing all the pieces of bread in there. Polvorones is one of my favorites. So I'm leaving those for the top because it's like almost like shortbread cookie. So I'm leaving those for the top. The pencil department in the backpack, you know, I'm putting like smaller, like cookie type stuff in there. I pack it out. It's a big backpack. It looks suspicious as fuck. Now we got to go to the airport. So we're going out of, we're flying back to LA out of Benito Juarez Airport in Mexico City. So, and this is early. This is like 5 a.m. So we're outside of the airport, just chilling on like 3:30 in the morning, 4 a.m. And we're just chilling, right? Me and DeMar. And so now it's time to go in, like going through customs. They start sweating DeMar. And they're like, you need this paper to get back in. He's like, I don't have it. I'm like, did you lose it? It's like that paper you fill out, like when you go to Montreal or, you know, stuff like that.
Save it.
You got to save it the whole time. And they're giving us a hard time. And then he's like, it's either $500 or you find the thing or you stay here till like 10.
I got 1500 worth of bread right here. I'll give you a third.
Let me put something together for you, man. You like bread?
How do y'all feel about this kind of bread?
Hear me out. Excuse me. Can I get your attention, please?
You'd be the only agent that would be like, I got you. Down here.
Yeah. Get on the intercom. Is it
Jesus,
this button?
We got one for you. Yeah, bring it. You got pandals there?
Yeah.
All right, come on down here. Man.
And the intercom, does this work here? Y'all like pan dulce? And sure enough, I end up with the guy in customs that goes, nah, fool. Yeah. That's who I get. That's who I get, right? So now we're looking for this thing, our luggage.
Like, hold on, give me just.
Yeah, so I'm.
How overstuffed is your, like, is it like if you turn, are you hitting people with your backpack? Like, how far off your back?
Let me tell you this. Have you seen those office chairs that are like a big, like a bouncy ball with the handle, like kids have?
Yes.
Like,
yep.
Imagine that I put that
on
in a backpack.
That's just breath.
Yeah. It looked like I got Kirby in the backpack. Like I'm kidnapping Kirby.
Yeah.
So I got the backpack.
And they're like, hell,
you know,
no.
It was stuffed because the backpack straps weren't down here. It was just like this tight.
All tight up under your arm.
Like I just deployed a parachute.
Oh, God. So both you get pulled?
We're there. Yeah, we're both pulled. Our luggage are out. We're trying to find for this little piece of paper. It's getting down to the wire. So we got to make this flight and we still have to go to customs and we still got to go to the next checkpoint. And he finds it and the guy's like, all right, now you guys could go. So we're
so they're not sweating you about the bread. They're just like, fuck that. We want the paper.
Nah, fool. Not yet.
Yeah.
So it's about to go down because they got an eye on us. You know, it's like
you've been radioed ahead about.
Oh yeah. I can hear old rusty cameras at Benito Juarez Airport go. So it's like all eyes on us from the flight people from the airline to the security, and it just feels weird. We're walking down the airport. We get to customs. Now we got to take everything off and put them in the conveyor belt. So I put the thing. DeMar goes first, and he's already over there packing his stuff, trying to, you know, put on his jacket, backpack. I'm walking through. Señor, over here. Yeah, for sure. So I go over there, and they got this Kirby backpack, big old thing like this. And they're like, what's in the bag? I'm like, bread. He's like, come over here. So now they're walking this bread bag. They're radioing people. Now I have two like officers, I guess. One of them has a dog, right? And the dog's at attention. He's like mad dogging me.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You haven't thought one moment that this guy, thinking possibly that you could have robbed him, could have put anything in this fucking bread to fuck you all at customs?
Not until this moment.
I watched that fucking international lockup, and they'll so shit. See, you gave the guy your backpack, and I've seen them take stuff and sew it inside the backpack. And
he didn't have enough
like
time
that.
To go into. Yeah, you know, I mean,
I'm
so
just saying.
Yeah, I did not think of that. I'm blinded.
But also, this is an absurd amount of bread that no one has probably ever seen in the history of their job. So it's worth of taking a look.
I'm blinded by my love of bread. I'm not thinking rationally. That's when you know you have a problem, when you're not thinking rationally.
And when they call for backup for your bread.
I'm still not thinking anything. Yeah. I'm just like, what? It's bread. Yeah, it's a lot. Okay, then what? So, you know, they pull me over, you know, off to the side. And they're like, so what's in the bag? I'm like, well, bread. He's like, do you have anything in here that's illegal? And I'm still calm as a whistle. Yeah, I'm chilling. I said, nah, I don't have anything. He's like, I'm like, didn't y'all just look at it through the x-ray? There's nothing in there. It's just literally bread and a backpack. That's all it is. And they're like, all right. He's like, we're going to have to open it. I'm like, yeah, feel free. So they open it, and the sweet, buttery taste.
That pan.
of a thousand, the wrath of a thousand buttery Mexican pan dulces starts to fill Benito Juarez Airport.
And they just, what are they doing?
The dog that the officer has, you could tell. He got the pan dulce. You know what I mean? He's salivating.
He's pointing right at you.
He's looking at the officer like,
what are we supposed to do about this?
I don't know that I could do my job effectively right now. They've never thrown me this curveball in training.
You might have ruined it, dog. You might have ruined him. He might be on like leave or some shit.
And it was warm from having this backpack on my back. So any piece of pan dulce that was up against my back is nice and warm, steamy.
You got fucking red marks on your back and shit.
I got the imprint of a concha on my back. You know what I mean? I look like diabetes. That's how much pan dulce I had. If diabetes was a person, it was me.
Shit.
And so now I got this massive amount of bread out in the open, and everyone just crosses their arms, like. And I guess now, after you saying that, everyone's like, we know how this plays out. But I was just still like, so one of the, this is what broke my heart. One of the people working the thing, not an officer, but one of the people working customs, I guess a customs officer, goes, I'm going to have to pat the bread to make sure that there's anything in there. I'm like, but you just put it through the x-ray machine. Shrugs his shoulders, goes over there and starts pressing on the bread. And I just see the top part just starts cracking.
He's breaking your bread and your heart.
Bro. It's breaking my heart, man. He starts going piece by piece, and he's like breaking it. He's breaking the bread, and whatever pieces of bread doesn't break, it's all smush. He puts them off to the side. They're going piece by piece, bro. And DeMar was like, I look over to DeMar, he's just shaking his head like I told you kind of thing. I was like, man. So they go through the whole thing. They ruin everything. And then they're like, all right, yeah, we didn't find anything. Have a good flight. Now you got to put a bag full of sawdust.
Imagine. Did you get it home, though? Did you get it home?
I put everything. Great. Thank you for asking that, because one of them said, you can throw it away right here. I said, I'm not throwing it away. I grabbed it and I'm like, those bins where you put your wallet and like the stuff.
Yeah.
So I grab it. I just put the corner down. I open the backpack and I'm like shaking all the stuff in there, and I zipped it up, and I'm sitting there with now what looks like a normal backpack full of sawdust. And DeMar's like, are you going to eat that? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to eat that. And I remember there, like, being on the plane, and I'd open it up and just sneak, like, I would, like, pack it like it was chewing tobacco.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. Pack it in nice and tight and just killing it.
Right, I'm with you.
And I got home. Last thing I'll say, I got home, and my dad was like, what the hell is this? I'm like, and I explained the whole thing to him. He's like, and you still brought it? He's like, throw it away. I said, I ain't throwing it away. So I had like 2 weeks worth of bread that I would just go over there and just chewing tobacco, pinch and just give me a little.
I love it, dude.
But yeah, that's my little Mexican bread story in Mexico City.
All right. Now we're at the end of this here. We've talked about what we've talked about. What advice would you give to your 16-year-old self?
I'll be honest. The main piece of advice I would give my younger self, 16-year-old self, is everything that you got in trouble for. Like doodling, you know, being disruptive to a certain extent, like doodling, all the writing, all that stuff. Like, pay attention to that, because that's going to pay the bills one day. All the creative stuff. And, you know, sometimes I do understand listening to people, because, you know, they've lived life and they can give you a piece of advice of like, you know, go to school, do this. It's like, I'm happy that I listen to all those things, but prioritize what you want to do in life just as much as everything else that your parents tell you, go to school, go to college, do this. Prioritize that too, because that's a big part of it. And I wish I would have, I would have pursued, you know, some of these things a lot more. And, you know, I'm a comic now. So it's like, you know, I'm so happy that I came around to it. You know, it's like I was able to figure it out. And, advice. Yeah. Be patient.
I love it. Please, promote again, everything you'd like.
wait a minute. Instagram at Jesus Trejo, the number one, Twitter at Jesus Trejo or JesusTrejo.com for upcoming shows. Yeah, I got some stuff coming up. So, I don't have any exact dates right now, but I'll be posting in the coming weeks. Hope to see you at a show. Thank you for being awesome, dude, and for the opportunity. It's great to see you, man.
You too, brother. Thank you so much for coming on, for real. That was a lot of fun. Thank you. And thank you all as well. RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.